You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca, Alberta's only regulated online gambling website. Use the promo code, and you get a new one every month, Greger50, and you'll get a free $50 play only at PlayAlberta.ca. For our former NHLer, now, of course, pre- and post-game host here on Sports 1440, does a lot of other media gigs on our show every Thursday. Landon, how you doing, Matt?
Doing pretty good. How's it going over there?
Well, it's pretty good. The Oilers are off. They wanted a good start, and through three games, it's been a good start. They got five out of a possible 6 points. And really, outside of 1 5-second gaffe, I think they played, you know, pretty well. Their goaltender, obviously, I think, stole the game on Tuesday night in New York. So as a player, a former player, like when you know your goalie wins you a game, is there like just an inherent, okay, we come out better, or does it not always work that way? Like, I'm in theory, I'm expecting the Oilers skaters to be better tonight. I'm not sure it's that easy, though.
Yeah, I agree with that form of thought on it. Is, you know, that he bailed you out, and that's fine. Like, you're going to need your goalie to do that from time to time, but you don't want to make him have to do that night in and night out. And this Oiler team has a deep enough and, you know, a stacked enough top of the lineup that that shouldn't be the case. And they'll want to get back rolling, not even to thank him or try and give him a lesser workload tonight, but it's more of like, we have so much more to offer. We don't need to rely just on the goalie. He's going to be there when we need him to, but we got to make sure that we're playing better in front of him and giving us ourselves a better chance to get to a point where you don't want to see them back off the pedal, but at the same time where you can get into like the real just going through the game. We've got the lead. Now we run our four lines. We start playing that type of system to where you can feel good about playing with a lead.
Yeah, well, the Oilers in their first two, like, it's funny how it just shows you how from night to night it's hard. Vancouver, the Edmonton Oilers, that was like a perfect defensive game. They literally didn't give up a high danger chance. To me, that's a pretty good game to play defensively. And then against the Rangers, they gave up 10 high danger chances and their goalie bailed them out. And so that's why you're a team, you're going to need different things. But for the Oilers, I thought like their outlet passing wasn't very crisp in that game. And it seemed to start there. Like that, the Oilers, a lot of their success comes off of the rush and, you know, even maintaining offensive zone time. But I do want to ask you, Landon, about the fact that, so I crunched the numbers because I've had somebody try to tell me that, and I should actually read the quote because it's so ridiculous that, because to me, the Edmonton Oilers, the issue I have with them 5-on-5 is they don't create enough traffic in front. And the numbers back it up. That like if you have a clear sight, and this is from Clear Sight Analytics. So if you have a clear sighted shot outside the slot, it goes in at 1.3% of the time. If it's the same shot with one defensive screen, it's 10.5. If it's a layered screen, which is multiple bodies, it's 13.5. So it's a pretty significant difference. Then you go to screen one timers have a 34% chance of scoring. Screen deflection, 20% chance. A slot area screen, 29.5%. But a clear sight shot in the slot has a 3.8% chance of scoring. Like, it's obvious that screens and layered screens increase it because the Oilers have, they lead the league in offensive possession time, but they're dead last in shooting percentage. They're dead last in 5-on-5 goals. And I watch the games, like, they don't have a lot of traffic. It's a team that, and guys got to do it, but they didn't do it last year very much outside of Hyman. And so far, I know it's only three games, but they need more guys in front and getting like proper screens, layered traffic. How can they instill that in their offense?
I think just more of a shot mentality. This Oiler team is really skilled and they can make plays and they make a lot of plays, which is great. You need to be able to do that. But at the same time, to your point, you have to get people to the net. The amount of times that there are shots, but you can see the net front person just move out of the way a couple seconds before because he's trying to get down to the goal line to get that next pass. If there's just more of a shot mentality, a bit more direct to the net, it makes it easier for guys to get in front. It's hard to stand there for an extended period amount of time, right? Like, you have the defenseman boxing you out. You have other people coming through. Like, it's hard to stand your ground for more than a few seconds, but if you know once you gain possession in the offensive zone, okay, there's going to be one or two passes and then it's coming to the net, basically no matter what, it makes it that much easier for someone on the line, okay, I'm not really in the play right now. I'll get to the front of the net. At least I'm doing something there. I can provide that screen. I'm there for a rebound that I know that shot's coming right now. And through a lot of last year too, it's a lot of looking for that next pass. How are we going to make the really nice play to have the back door tap in, which is great. And they do it. But at the same time, you can simplify the game as you get into the slog of the season and then eventually playoffs. You need to get to the front of the net. It can't just be one or two guys. It needs to be a part of that team identity for sure.
Landon Ferraro joins us. You look at the Orders and they've switched up the top guys, which I think was inevitable anyway. McDavid and Draisaitl, I think everybody knows the team's better when they play apart for the majority of the time, especially when they don't score if they're playing together. Like if they're scoring at a high rate, which they've done historically, then I understand it. But the minute they don't start scoring, you're like, well, let's split them up because now at least we've got, you know, two of the best players on the ice for a longer period of time. Even though they're not together, they're still pretty dangerous. So what have you thought of Tomasik's game through three games? And I actually thought his best game was against the Rangers.
Honestly, I'm a big fan of it so far. The fact that he is a bit of what we were just talking about. He can get to the front of the net. He doesn't accept being pushed out wide while he's trying to gain the zone. He makes that great move last game where he pops it to the middle and then he drives through. Like, he's not afraid to low drive in front of the net. He knows how to position himself and use body position to really create space for himself and get his stick open. You know, I think he's a player that, again, it's a bit different when the player's older coming over. Right, like he's got years of pro hockey under his belt in Europe. He understands what his attributes are. And now coming over here, it's so easy to try and dumb your game down because now you're in the NHL, you're playing with better players and all of that. But he plays the same way. He's direct. He's hard on the puck. He's heavy on it. I think he's one of the better ads that they've had this offseason. And I think someone that's going to continually take steps as the season goes along. Like, I see him being a really big piece to this team.
Oh, well, you know what? Early on, like, and the other thing is, like he's a bigger body with some skill.
Yeah.
And it does matter. When all things are even, you get to the playoffs and player A is 220, you know, 6'2", and player B is, you know, 5'11", 190, and they're the same skill set. Player A just has an advantage in certain places of the ice. He just does.
Yeah, it really does. And, you know, with all the rule changes, we understand where the smaller player can be so good in the regular season. But with the way this game is called and handled in the playoffs, things drastically change. You have to be able to stand your ground, stand over pucks, really protect it, fight for space, especially in front of the net, but even on the boards and trying to get off and be able to make a play. He's got good size. He skates well. But the best part of it is he can do all that and he can be hard on a puck, but he can make the one move to get out of it and make the next play. He's got some hands. And, you know, again, like I just keep thinking back to the Vancouver game where he could have had a hat trick in the first period. Yeah, those are nice plays being put into him. But at the same time, that shows like he knows how to find the soft areas on the ice and get himself. He's going to get more accustomed to the play and more comfortable as he gets moving on, I'd say game to game, but really period to period. He's going to keep figuring out, okay, that worked back in Europe. This doesn't work here. I got to make a little tweak here and there. But he's finding his opportunities, and because of it, he's getting a chance to play on the top line.
Landon Ferraro joins us. Orders in Long Island tonight to take on the Islanders. No Ilya Sorokin, who's off to a tough start. Got like a 4.18 goals against average and an .854 save percentage. So Dave Riddick will get his first start with the Islanders. And in his career, 10 starts, he's 5-4-1 against the Oilers. But ever since he had the shootout celebration, that the Oilers didn't like, he's 1-3 and they've lit him up a little bit. Do players, like I know guys have a long memory, but would that be discussed? Oh yeah, it's Dave Riddick. Remember when he tried to embarrass us with the celebration? Like, does that continually get brought up?
It gets brought up right away, maybe the first one or two times after, but I don't think it's discussed anymore. I think it is something where you score on them or you get the team win, And no one even really says anything about it, but it's in the back of their minds as well of, oh, well, we got him again, right? Like, it's just that little bit of satisfaction at the end of the night of, you shouldn't have done that. It doesn't matter anymore. It was a while ago, but it's still real fun to make that person pay. And it's amazing how some guys play really well against a certain team or a certain goalie, and goalie against a certain team plays really well. You get, for whatever reason, that style of play just works. And for the Oilers shooting on Rittich, it's sometimes you're not even aiming because, oh, I know he's weak in this spot or that spot. You just, you know, you've played against him enough. And for whatever reason in your own head, you have a little more confidence going into it. You understand that you've had good success of recent play against him, and there's no reason it shouldn't be the same tonight.
What about Howard and Savoy on a line together with Adam Henrique? I think, like, when I look at Howard's minutes played, I think it's probably only a matter of time before they make a move and let him go, you know, just gain lots of ice time and experience in different situations in the American League. But I don't mind Howard and Savoy together. Like, I don't think either one of them is a detriment defensively that they can't play together. And there might be a little juice there.
Yeah, I have no problem with it. You know, they're two guys that skate well. Savoy's already had the year of pro hockey playing in the American League, so he understands it a little bit better of what's going to be coming to him every single night. But at the same time, you have a really secure and solid centerman between them. But you have two guys that are trying to fight for their NHL lives right now and trying to stay in the lineup and keep minutes. Like, it's good to have a couple hungry players, especially young ones. I agree with you that, you know, Howard's probably going to need some time in the American League, and that's not anything against him. You look at basically everyone other than the stars of the league have played a decent amount in the American League. It's a great spot to get real good minutes, start to learn the pro game. There's so many more games. Howard's coming out of NCAA. You're playing basically double the amount of games. It's a lot, and it's a lot to handle in your first year. There's nothing wrong with him, and it's really a benefit to go down and play in every situation. And then you have no idea where the year is going to take you, right? Like, you don't know what injuries are going to happen, how guys are going to be playing. You go down, you make sure that you're ready, and then when you do come back, that you're ready to take that step and really grab a hold of a spot. But putting those two players together, there's some offense there. There's a little bit of grittiness with Henrique as well, that they can get in on a forecheck and try and create some of that fourth line momentum. It is a big thing when you can have a fourth line that, while the other three are sitting on the bench, they see the work that they're putting in and holding them in the offensive zone. Like, that gets the big guys buzzing a bit too. Like, they're watching guys that are trying to build themselves up have success. Well, okay, if you're watching those two, no offense, but if you're Connor McDavid and you're seeing Savoy and Howard and Henrique working in the offensive zone, like, there's no excuse for you not to be able to do that. And it kind of just keeps that fire going from line to line.
Landon Ferraro joins us. Landon, that third line with different centers, like, I really like Kasperi Kapanen's games of the first three games. Like, he's, you know, there's speed, skill. You know, Frederick had a nice pass, goes and shows he can accelerate and scores a goal. That's two straight games, really, by that third line with goals from different center icemen. What do you make of that line, and what do you like about it?
Well, the speed's there for sure, right? And we saw when Kapanen got to the Oilers, he was playing basically the same way he is now, with a ton of speed, with some tenacity in his game, with some skill being shown. With him, it's always been, can he do it consistently for a long stretch? And it looks, you know, I know it's early, but it looks like he's found another gear, a bit more direct, a bit harder on every play, not letting one play here or there kind of throw off the rest of the night. He's really kept himself in it. Podkolzin has done what Podkolzin does. He's heavy on pucks. He's really steady in his play. You know exactly what you're going to get out of him every night. And then Frederick, you know, he missed a good amount of time last year, jumps into playoffs, does the best that he can, gets thrown with McDavid and Dreisaitl to start, and it looked like a bit much for him to handle. He still has his game to get back a little bit, But that the last game, like, he looks like he's that little bit quicker, and not just with his feet, but with his decision making. Like, he's another guy, going back to our, you know, our first little discussion of getting bodies to the net. Like, that's a player that loves to get to the front of the net, wants to play in tight and have those battles and find rebounds. You know, I think it's a really solid line. And the fact that, you know, looking at last year's team to this year's team, there's a lot more heaviness in it. There's more guys that can contribute offensively and should be able to do it on a more consistent basis. This, to me, is a lot deeper of a team. And not only just a couple things I just said, but there's more speed within the forward group. Last year, the Oilers, for them to play fast, they had to make tape-to-tape passes with guys stretched through the zones. Like, that's how they picked apart teams, other than, you know, McDavid picking up a puck and just taking it. This year, there's more guys that can lug the puck through the neutral zone, get into the offensive zone, find space and evade the defenders and try and find that next play. So there's a lot more speed, but at the same time, there's some skill, there's some size put into it. I really like how this group's shaping up, and the fact that you still get to drop Hyman into the forward group, you get to drop Wallman into the defensive group. Like, it's shaping to be a really good team.
Oh yeah, there's still, you know, Wallman's not playing, Hyman's not playing, Janmark hasn't played, although, you know, there's some debate of, you know, whether he's going to get in or not. Like, I'd look as a fourth line role. He probably fits the bill more than an Ike Howard, if I'm looking long term. Now, that being said, Janmark can't just go a season and score two goals. Like, you know, playoff Janmark is fairly valuable player. But I'll be interested to see, like, when he comes back and Wallman's back and Hyman's back. Like, there's some guys that got to come into the line. Noah Phillips not even playing. He scored a goal. So there's some real good competition here. Like, Curtis Lazar is going to be hard pressed to get in this lineup.
It's going to be really tough for him. And with Janmark, if you're looking at Janmark and Howard, kind of, it's one or the other, you really got to start looking at, like, what usage are we going to give to Howard and how are we going to use him? How many minutes? It's okay for Janmark to play a much lower minute game and be in and out of the lineup a little bit. Howard, he's young. It's his first year. You want him to be playing every single night and having minutes. So that's where Janmark would probably have, you know, a foot up on Howard, but at the same time, I completely agree, and that was a big issue for the Oilers last year in the regular season, was depth scoring. There was a lot of guys that really struggled. They could make the plays, but they just struggled to finish, and you're going to need that. You've already gone to two finals. That's a lot of hockey played. You got to get through this year, like, regular season, and then have another long playoff run to get back to where they want to. To have to lean on McDavid and Dreisaitl for 24 minutes almost every game, like they did in a lot of games last year, it's a lot to ask. And you need guys down the lineup to be able to relieve some of that pressure. That's why they got this really good signings, I think, with Mangiapane. He can score. He's shown that already. And I think as he gets more comfortable as well, I think he's got a better chance of being, you know, that 25-goal scorer than one sitting in the mid-teens. And now you've got Roslovic. Like, they've added really good pieces, and the young guys are going. So for a guy like Janmark, the being able to play the lower minutes might help him, but at the same time, he's going to have to find a way to kind of get himself more involved, much like Kapanen is doing in the early part of the year here.
Landon, great stuff, buddy. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you again soon. Have a good one.
Yeah, you as well.